This afternoon, I would like to continue with the subject that we had last week, the love of God. You know, it would be out of balance to always preach on the love of God and nothing else. But I think it's also it's the top of the list that we need to be able to understand. And I was thinking of a song that we sing, "The Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell." And to be able to see where all His love reaches. Now, we haven't even started on seeing the love of God in that He sent His Son. And the love that Christ had for us to be willing to come. That's another addition to it. That's the most important, probably. But I believe that we should be able to see the love of God around us. Have you this past week been able to see God's love to mankind? I was coming back from the burial at the cemetery last night, late yesterday evening, heading west, and seeing the beautiful sunset. You know what? God made it for us. I've tried before. I say, this is a beautiful sunset. I'm going to take a picture. You ever done that? And you look at it, there's so much detail lost in trying to do it with a camera. And yet, He painted it for the world to see yesterday evening. I would like for us to start with a song, number 43. And I'd like for us to just sing the first three verses. Robert, if you want to go ahead and lead it. Wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from His royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we
serve. Reigning now above on His throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. Raging winds and waves are calm when He says to them, be still. The heavens praise Him in a psalm, and the angels do His will. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on His throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. Maketh worlds by His command. Weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in His hand. Spans the lofty starlit sky. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on His throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. So as we see the beauties of nature that God gives us, to me, I think it's a picture of His love to all mankind, both saint and sinner. And I want to go back to the verse that we used last week, Matthew 5 and 45. At the end of it, it says, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. But you know what? That's not all of the verse. The first part of it says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. And that's the portion of God's love that I would like to look at today. Is, yes, we see His love all around us. And we didn't even sing verse number 4, which is the most important one out of the whole song, because that's another subject to deal with. But on this one, I'm looking at the love of God. I see it all around me. Am I allowing it to be shed abroad? through my life. He would like for his love to be shown to others. And how does that happen? This says that we may be the children of our Father. And you ever gone to, I've gone to Monarch, maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I go to Monarch now and there's so many little children going around and I don't know whose is whose, except I can sometimes look at one and say, that's a little version of a grown-up that I know. I believe that's his child. You know what the Lord would like for us, God would like for us, the world, to be able to take a look at us and say, you know what? There's a child of his, because I see his love being extended. And I'd like to go back to Genesis 1 and 26. In creation time, and God is going to make man, there's something here that I think is important for us. 26th verse of the first chapter, God said, let us make man in our image. So I would like to make man to be just like me in some ways. And I have to ask in this subject, does my actions portray the love of God? Do I bear his, it says I'd like to make him in our image. Does my life bear out the image of God as I look at the love of God shown to saint and sinner, those who we would say deserve it and those who don't? Do I bear his likeness? And I was looking at a word, compassion. You know, it says Christ had compassion when he was here. Looking at the definition of it, sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and the misfortunes of others. Have you ever looked at trouble that came to somebody and said, you know what? I knew they had it coming. Yeah, they deserve what they're getting. You know, God could have looked at me and said, you know what? He deserves trouble. But instead, he has shown his love to us. And I want to be able to, if I'm going to bear his image, I'd like to be able to see how he did it. And am I letting his love be shed abroad through my life to those around me? I'd like to start over in a verse in Mark. Mark in the 8th chapter. You know, there were some times where there was a need, and the disciples looked at it one way, and Jesus looked at it another. Mark 8. And in the first verse, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they'll faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And in this one, I see a compassion that Christ had on the multitude. I see that if I send them away in the condition that they're in, if I don't give something to them to help them, they're going to be in trouble. Well, I want to look at another verse. I believe it must have been another time, because it's in Mark 6 and 34. So he has another time here. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It says, and when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Now they're looking at the situation of, how should I take care of this problem right here? What was their, how they saw it? Send them away. Three words there. Let's move them on out of our life. Having a place to take care of them. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he went on to take care of the problem. So if I want to bear his image, I want to be able to see how he would do it. He took care of the need. There is, throughout the Bible, we see places, and I'd like to look at some of them this afternoon, of being able to see a need and take care of it. You remember when the woman cried after Jesus? Her daughter was in a need, and she was begging for some help. And the disciples that again looked at that situation and said, here's what you can do about this. Send her away. Just take her problem and go on down the hall with it. Take it to somebody else. But instead, he still had some things that he worked with her about. You remember that was one where he said, it's not meat that I take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now that seems almost worse than sending her away, except that he wasn't planning on sending her away. He was working with her, helping her to be able to. She came to a place where I'm not going. I know that you have the help that I need. But when we read the story of the Good Samaritan, I look at that story in Luke 10, and I think there's something that in our day and time, because here's the thing, we have trouble all around us, people that are in trouble. And you know, if I'm not real careful, I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on. And it would be real easy for me to go over on the other side of the road and let somebody else take care of it. In Luke 10 and 25 is where this begins. It says, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And he's answering, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then we read this story, like Sister Maxine told this morning. You know what? Some things we have heard it for a long time. We have heard it many times. But there's some things that I think just need to be refreshed in our mind. And I look at this story now at the love of God, and I wonder. Now, he says that this is a story that happened. A certain man went down. He didn't say this is a parable that I'm just coming up with. But here's somebody that is in need, and here are the religious people, those that should be able to take the love of God and hand out to somebody. And they're the ones that went to the other side of the road. And then it says a certain Samaritan. You know, we don't think too much about when we read about a Samaritan. But I was reading, what caused there to be so much of a difference between the Jews and the Samaritans? And we read about it with the woman at the well. You know, when he's just asking her a drink, she says, how are you asking me? The Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. So, you know, for Jesus to use this man, when the priests and the Levites have walked by on the other side, the religious people went by and left it. And here's one that is despised by the Jews, and he is the one that stops to help them out. And it says in the 33rd verse, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. You know, I would like to bear the image of my father. So here's what he did. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And we know about this. We even told him, if you have any more expense, I'll take care of it. What about for us? Because this ends, and he said, he that showed mercy on him was the, which now of these three, 36 verse, was neighbor to him that fell among thieves. He said, he that showed mercy on him, and Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. You do the same thing in your life. When you come up on someone that is in need, you know, it's so easy for me to just kind of ease over on the other side and move along. But I would like to bear the image. I appreciate God's love being shown to me. And I would like to be able to be a better channel of that to others. So I'd like to give a few verses, and if you don't mind, it'll help maybe even for us staying awake. Give a few verses if you read them. 1 John 3 and 16 through 18. Okay, and if someone would get James 2 and 14 through 17. Okay, and if someone would get Galatians 6 and 10. Okay, Let's start with 1 John 3 and 16 through 18.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Let us not love in word and in tongue, my speech, but let me let it be done in deed. If I see my brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion to him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Okay, that next one. James 2 and 14 through 17.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Okay. So now I see, in this one, I see somebody that really have a need. And I say to them, be warm and filled. But I didn't do anything to help with that need. That's not enough. So, you know, James is talking about how valuable works are. You remember how Paul, he spoke about... We're not saved by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So I think, are those contradicting each other? I don't think so. Because I think it's who he's dealing with. When Paul was dealing with the Jews, you know, their works would save them. If I don't walk too far on the Sabbath day, if I do these steps, then I ought to be accepted. And he says, no, grace is going to be what saves you. Well, on the other side, somebody says, I have faith. But you know what? There needs to be works that go along with it. And that's what this one is saying. Let me do more than just my heart goes out to them. I'm sorry you have trouble. Hope somebody helps you to be warm and filled. But help me. I'm desiring the Lord to help me to be able to reach out where I can. You know, maybe that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit, if I will listen. We're not going to be able to help every need there is, but there may be some that I could, that I would normally have passed by. Lord, help me to do what I can. Galatians 6 and 10.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Okay, so each of these verses is just a little encouragement to me. As I have opportunity, let me do good to others, because I tell you, God has sure poured out his love on me in my life. So now I would like to look in the verse in Matthew 5 that was telling us, I want to be the children of our Father. What verses are those that are right up above it? The verse right above it is, love your enemies. So you see in the 43rd verse, it hath been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. You know, when we see the sun come up on the just and the unjust, the rain on the just and unjust, and we see God's love poured out, and then he's telling us, I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And then here comes this little piece again that I want to pattern after, so that I can be the children of my Father, which is in heaven, that I could be able to be like him. So Romans 5 and 5 is where this comes from, because I don't want it to flow into me and then stop. You know, the Mississippi River flows out into the Gulf normally. Sometimes it goes backwards. I have heard in a hurricane that the Mississippi River will stop because the storm is coming in so strong, and the Gulf will push itself up into, which you know there's serious flooding because of that. That water has to go somewhere. But I've thought about this. If God's love comes into me, but I don't let it flow out to others, what does Romans 5:5 say?
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I believe what he would like to do is he pours in his love to me, and I feel his love and I appreciate it, that I would allow it to flow right on out to other people, and that it would not be I'm making calculations of who deserves it and who doesn't deserve it, because I want to always keep in my mind the verse that we keep reading. He sends the sun. The sunsets we see are intended for all mankind to be able to see. The rains that we get are intended for everyone. And may I be able to be a child of my Father and be able to show it to others. You know, Jesus left us an example. I don't want it to be that I can show love to others when everything is real peaceful with me. But what about in stressful times? Can I still show that love of God to others? Thought about Jesus. You can hardly have a more stressful time than dying on the cross. You know, he could be consumed about who he was and the troubles that he's in. And then he hears this voice, "Would you remember me?" And has the time to be able to show the love of God to him. This day you will be with me in paradise. One thing that would help us is if I will always remember the love of God that has come to me. Because when I forget that, then I can run into a problem. And here is a story that to me reveals that. I'd like for us to look in Matthew. We've read this one many times. It starts in Matthew 18 and 23. And this is where it says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. Now, if we converted this over to my life, when the record was checked and the debt that I owed to the Lord, and I was forgiven. You know, it is a wonderful thing for God to be able to say, through Christ, your sins are forgiven. To be remembered no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far they will be removed. That's a wonderful thing. And it was a wonderful thing what is about to happen here. Just take a look at this and try to put ourselves with our family in this picture right here. As much as he had not to pay, the 25th verse, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." You know, we live in America. We can't even relate to what is being said right here. But they had the power back then to put a man in prison because he owed a debt. And how he is ever going to be able to pay that debt sitting in prison, it won't happen. But I would like for us to think about this in the debt that I owed when I was in sin and the forgiveness that he gave to me. And I want to be a child of my Father bearing his image. Look at this. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And did he put him on a 10-year plan? Okay, get to paying it back and have it all. You'll have a balloon payment at the end of 10 years that you'll need to pay. He didn't do it. That compassion caused him to loose him and forgive him the debt. You know, something that is real important for me to be able to have the love of God shed abroad in my heart and flowing out to others is for me to remember the love that's been shown to me. This man had to have been so happy to hear your family won't have to go into prison. Your family's not going to be sold and payment be made. I've loosed you from the debt. How long would you be thankful for that? I would think I'd be just the rest of my life. I would be just so happy and so willing to forgive others. You know how easy it is to not let that happen? Look at this next verse. It almost seems like he was on his way home, so happy that he had been released. The same servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That I could be the child of my father. My father loosed me and forgave me the debt. And then I can look at somebody else that owes me a very little bit. And I just say, don't worry about that. I have been forgiven so much. You're forgiven. This one says, you know, this is human nature. The love of God flowed into me, but it failed to flow out to others. The same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, owed him 100 pence, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You know, it is so important for me for the love of God to be shed abroad like God really wants it to be. I have to always remember what God saved me from, what he forgave me of, and the love that he showed to me. Otherwise, if I'm not careful, someone will owe me something, and maybe it's just an apology that they owe me. And maybe I don't catch him physically by the throat, but maybe you remember the verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. This thing may not, I might not even touched him at his throat, but in my mind, things start churning. And you know what? My mind does some tricks on me. One thing it can do if I'm not real careful is it can cause me to forget the love that God showed to me, but cause me to remember the things that someone else has done to me. You know, it looks like if nothing else, this servant would have, his mind would have been jarred with this next verse. His fellow servant, you know what? Because his fellow servant is now doing exactly what he just did. His fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. You know, that story is to me a reminder. Let me always remember the love that God showed to me, and let me extend it to other people. You know, I can go around town and I can see some people that are living off the streets, and it seems like they enjoy it. And I can just say, I tell you what, if that's the way they want to be, just go on with it. Or I can try to reach out a hand to them to help them out. And not just that, but you know, we can have a neighbor, we can just have someone in trouble around us. Here's a danger for me, is we're living in a fast moving time. I have got a schedule that I'm working on, and my schedule doesn't allow me much spare time for something else. You know what? I need to be able to stop that schedule sometimes and say, Lord, today, if you put somebody in my path that I could be a help to, before I look at them and decide whether they deserve it or not, help me to remember that you send the sun for everybody, the rain for everybody. And we haven't even started talking about he sent his son for everybody, his own beloved son. And I believe there's a time for us to study that, and it probably should have been the very first. But I'd like for us to see the love of God and the desire that he has for us to let it flow out of us. So what do we call the Lord's Prayer? You know, he really kind of had two prayers. One of them was in the 17th chapter of John. But when he was teaching them to pray, over in Matthew 6, here's part of that prayer, 6 and 12, just a small little piece of the prayer, forgive us our debts. I would like for the Lord to do that. But you know how that verse is worded? Lord, how I would like for you to forgive my debts is as I forgive my debtor. Lord, I want you to forgive me on the level that I'm willing to forgive others. You know, that changes that picture completely. Because then he goes on in the very next verse, in the 14th verse, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's the love of God. But if ye forgive not men, see, this is after it supposedly have flowed out. The love of God flowed through me and out to somebody else. But I stopped it up because I haven't forgiven. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. So I look at those. I want to see the love of God. God wants me to be able to recognize his love coming directly to me. But I also want to let it flow out to others. Let's start with Deuteronomy 4 and 6.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Okay, and I have got the wrong place. Where is it, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart? Okay, 6 and 4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Okay. Before we go to this verse, I know sometime there have been ministers that when the wrong verse was read, they try to fit that in, and I can't do that, so we'll plow through it. This one, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know, before I come to the place that I can really help others see the love of God, I've got to take this and put it to practice in my life. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You know what? When I love him that much, it's going to be real easy for me to see his love, and it's going to be much easier for me to let it flow out to others. Okay, in 1 John 2 and 5 through 6.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
In him is his love perfected. He ought to walk, we ought to walk, as he has walked. You know, when Jesus was here, he had compassion on a lot of folks that were in trouble. He could have looked at them and judged them and said, you know what, the trouble that you're in, you deserve it by the life that you've lived. But how many times, even the woman caught in adultery, what did he say to her? I don't condemn you. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Compassion on her too. Okay, John 15 and 17.
These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Okay, a small verse, but here's a command that we have. You know, we read the Ten Commandments, and I want to live by them. Well, this one, he's given us another commandment. This I command, that you love one another. Yeah. Okay? Okay, John 13 and 34 to 35.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
You know, that's quite a verse. When the world is looking on us, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. By what you say? No. Because you have love one to another. You know, I am hoping the events yesterday was a place for people to recognize the love of the saints, not just for one another here, me to you and you to another one in this congregation, but a love that is shed abroad. I believe yesterday was a picture of what I'm trying to say today.
Yes.
God's love has been shown to us, and we don't look at this one or this one and this one deserves it and this one doesn't, but help us to open our hearts, and we do. And I'm thankful for that. But what I want to do, I need reminders throughout my life. that, Lord, you have poured your love into me. You show it to me in so many ways. And it's so much more than just nature. But at the same time, I marvel at the detail that he put in nature to tell me, I love you. As springtime comes in, I believe he's telling us all around, I love you. Go to Colorado and look off a mountain, and he created it all for us to be able to enjoy. And I think what he's wanting to do is for us to see all of that and say, you know what? His love was shown to me, and I want to be able to show it out to others. Okay, there's another verse.
Seeing you have purified your hearts and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Okay, there's a word that was added into there. Need to love one another, but it adds with a pure heart fervently. You know, putting a lot of effort into the love that I show to you, to others around me, to those that are in need, and maybe to someone that owes me something. You know, if it was an apology or whatever, maybe someone has done me wrong. May I remember to soften it? The Lord forgave me of a debt that I could not have repaid on my own. And may I be able to help others. You know, Stephen, when he was being stoned, for him to be able to say, don't lay this sin to their charge. You know, I believe that would help me. If when I'm wronged, if I would tell the Lord, Lord, I tell you what, don't lay that to their charge. I forgive them. You forgive them. I know that a person themselves will have to clear things with God. But I tell you what, it's going to help me to be able to let people, not so much let people know, but let God know what my attitude is. Lord, would you forgive them? Because a lot of times, you know, Jesus said, for they know not what they do. You know, if you would have asked those that were killing him, they said, we know what we're doing. No, they really did not recognize what all it was going to impact. So I want to be able to take this new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you and put it to practice. Ask the Lord to help me to put it to practice more in my life. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 253, and it says, let us ever love each other. But I think I want it to go farther than just our little group or when we get together at camp meeting and everybody together. But help me to have that love tomorrow when I go to work and I meet up with somebody that crosses me up. May this each other include more than just those here at the chapel. It says, when the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears overflow. You know, I would like to be able to be in the image of my Father and be able to recognize more the needs of other people around me. Gentle words and deeds of kindness can fall like sunbeams on the snow. Let us help our fallen brother. You know, I'm thinking about that. It's real easy to see someone maybe that has fallen. And what do I do with that? You know, I think what it ought to be a call to me for prayer for them. Lord, I tell you what, I could be in that same place. So I ask you, this one says, lift him gently by the hand, speaking words of cheer and comfort, point him to a better land. I want to be a child of my Father. I see the love that he has extended to me and the love that he's extended to others. And I want to bear his image better in my life. I desire your prayers.